This vine, this branch of the vine, will never bear fruit again. It's been cut off from the vine. It has no life in itself. Just a few moments ago, it was connected and it had life, and there was buds beginning to swell. It had potential. And now, because it's been pruned, it's done. Because there is no life in the branch. Life is in the vine. Whatever life is in the branch comes only from the vine. And that, friends, is like us. Because we are dependent upon Him who is life to give life, that we might live His life. And to do that, He gave one specific directive. Very simple, well, simply stated, abide. Abide. Believers, I don't know how your God time is going as we walk through this series, but what I want to see us move toward is that you understand what I'm talking about is not just an appointment, but a relationship. It's not just saying, I read my Bible today, I said some prayers today, but God and I connected at a point in time and continued through the day in growth. That's what I'm talking about. And so for some, I just need to be honest, if we're still back here saying, I don't know if I want to do that, I'm not going to take the time for that, the whole concept of having an abiding relationship where life is born through you and flows out from you is a completely foreign concept. You're not going to see the very essence of what we're talking about. The very essence of what God wants for you is far more than you can imagine. It's not something to do as a task. It's someone to relate to as a person in relationship. And so I find it marvelous that Jesus didn't say, just read your Bible. But He said, abide in Me and I in you. I've been meditating on this truth for years and intensely this week. And yet, I can tell you before we get done, I won't get there. All right? I'm going to invite you into this truth in John 15. But I can't get there fully. But I'm hoping to introduce you to whet your appetite for something that's beyond the page. There's a person for you to relate to. So that's really something I want you to see as we talk again this morning, is how can I have a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ? And how can I be a life-giving believer in the lives of people around me? So that I just don't go through the motions. I just don't do what I'm supposed to do, but I am who He's called me to be. So turn with me there if you haven't yet. John 15. And we will begin with verse 1. Where Jesus, speaking to His disciples just shortly before He was arrested and beaten and crucified, said this: I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in Me and I in you. as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's hard for us to come to grips with the terms of this picture because so much of our life can seem to be lived by our own power. Because we're not seeing the other essence of life in the midst of this. And so I'm getting by just fine, James. What's the deal? What are you talking about? I can do nothing. I can do nothing that will bring God glory. I can do nothing that will reveal the fruit of God. Apart from Jesus Christ, there's nothing that's going to come out of my life that's going to say Jesus. Now, I can tie some stuff on that might look like Jesus to you. You know, you ever done that? Went out and tied fruit onto a tree? Well, of course not. You don't tie fruit onto a tree. But fruit has to be born. But we try to do that sometimes as Christians. And we come and, you know, we may not be too happy when we come to church. But what do we tie on? Little joy of the Lord. Okay, we're happy again. Here we are. How are you guys doing? Oh, great. Shh. So this issue when he says abide is inviting us into a life-giving relationship. He wants you to have more than you've ever had. And these are the truths that they drive me. This is what it's all about. That you can settle so much short of this, and yet he says, listen, I am the true vine. I am the source of life itself. And he says, and I've got fruitfulness planned for you. Do you understand that? That God intends for you to be a fruitful person. God intends for you to be a blessing in the people around you. You may be going through great hardship, but the intention of the Father is that blessing is going to flow out from your life. Amen. And so he says, abide in me, and I in you. And there is in that statement, in that command, this revelation of something. He says, I want you connecting with me, but that, and I in you. And in that statement, he's showing you this is not just, okay, I'm going through the motions of doing something, but that there's some interaction that's supposed to be taking place that is supernatural, that is spiritual, that is deeper than reading. It's deeper than just singing. It's deeper than just saying or doing. It's abiding. It's depending upon. It's remaining in life-giving contact with, you know, the invention of the cell phone has allowed people to maintain contact with each other, hasn't it? And you can be contacted almost anywhere at any time by anybody. Yes, doctor, I understand that sigh. And yet, that's not what I'm talking about. If that's what you see, you're still not seeing what I'm talking about. Because you can hang up that phone. You can choose not to answer that phone. When we're talking about abiding, it's saying that the line is open, the communication is there, and there is an interaction between you and Jesus Christ on a continual basis throughout your day. And so he says, in me and I in you, because that's the only way you're going to bear fruit. So abiding, an abiding relationship with Jesus is developed by depending on Jesus for life. It's not just an acknowledging Jesus as life. But many people will say, well, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Sometimes we miss that one. We really get into the truth. That's us fundamentalists, you know. We're into truth, okay? Well, if you don't have life, you don't understand the truth. The truth is that he is the life. Paul said in Colossians that when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Jesus didn't just give his life for you. He gave his life to you with the intention that he would live out his life through you, that people would see Jesus as you abide. And so an abiding relationship is developed by depending on Jesus for life. Perhaps only mothers who have nursed would understand that concept of someone totally depending upon you for life. But there's that intimate connection that many of you mothers have had with your child where you know you are their literal source of life. That, in the human realm, person to person, is as close as we can quite picture. But here in the plant realm, this idea that there is this life-giving connection that says, depend on someone other than yourself. Now that's why I invite you to take time to get in the Word, because that's an act of dependence to say, I need revelation. Okay, what I'm trying to say is, don't misunderstand me and saying I'm not telling you to do this. I'm just saying it's more than doing this. But in the doing this, when I open up my Bible every day, I'm saying, Lord, I want to hear from you. I mean, I'm coming up here to speak this morning, but I'm here to tell you that even before I reviewed my message this morning, I was reviewing his word, not related to this message, because I need that life to get up and share that life with you, and I'm dependent upon that. And sure, I could have gotten by without taking that time with him, but by taking more time with him, I have a stronger connection. And I don't know exactly how to describe this, but I'm fuller from having been with him. Just like maybe you can understand as if you had breakfast, you're fuller than you would. You wouldn't have died if you didn't have it, right? Most of you could get by with a couple fewer breakfasts. Yeah. Just a little comment there, you know. Take it how you will. But we can survive without a meal. But you cannot thrive without dependence upon the source of life. I don't got wisdom. I get wisdom. Pardon my grammar. Do you follow what I'm saying? No. People sometimes think, boy, James, you're really insightful. Oh, no. No, God has given me a gift and God has given me a word. And what I got didn't come from James. It comes from Jesus. So the living word invites us to a living response. All right? And in that response, there's promises, there's declarations. He goes on to warn, saying, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Did you hear that? Read that with me again, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Can somebody say, wow? How can he make that statement? Friends, this says abiders receive whatever they ask for. Doesn't it say that? That's exactly what it says. Now, if you don't want liberals explaining away the miracles of the Bible, I want to challenge you fundamentalists, that's us, don't explain away the promises of the Bible. We'll go, well, you know what that really means? No, what that means is if you're in a living connection with him, if you're in a dependent relationship upon him, receiving his life, letting his life be displayed in you, he will give you anything you ask. How can he make that promise? How can he make that promise? Because if you're living in his life, the only thing you're going to ask for is what he wants. And he says, oh yeah, I definitely want to do that. You know, I've used this illustration before, but it's like some of you parents, you'd probably faint, but it's when your child comes to you and says, would you please show me how I could clean my room better? And you as a parent are going to say, no, it's your own job. You just take care of it. No, what are you going to say? You betcha. You're going to be right there. You're going to come alongside because that's your will for them. You know, could you show me how I could teach you respect so I could show respect to you better? You know, do you know what I'm saying? If you ask those things that you know Father wants to do, Father's going to jump to do that because that's his desire already. We saw that last week. He's a good, loving, generous father who tells us, ask, seek, knock. So he promises that abiders get what they ask for. But did you catch something here? If you abide in me, and what? My words abide in you. That which I have said is finding its living expression in your life. We can do business, friends. And we can do life. He says, we're going to see fruitfulness. And I love verse 8. My Father is glorified by this, that you manage to bear a little bit of fruit and show that you might be one of my disciples. I'm sorry, but that's the way I see a lot of Christians reading this. And I'm thankful I'm in a congregation where some of you are bearing much. I get excited about that, just seeing you guys coming through the door, seeing you doing your work. But I want to encourage you, friends. It says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciple. You see, when there is an abounding fruitfulness in your life, it declares Jesus to people because they go, that's not normal. Now, understand, sometimes they label it weird. People don't always come to you and say, you look just like Jesus. They say, you're strange. How come you act like that? Why did you respond like that? People will ask the question, but what they're really asking is, where does the life come from? And what I'm saying is some of you are going back into an awkward, difficult, painful situation. It may be your marriage. It may be your job. It may be your children. But if you're abiding in Christ, much fruit can flow right out of you. It is not the circumstance that you are in. It is the person you are depending upon that determines the fruitfulness of your life. And he says, and you can ask for anything. You can ask for anything. And some of you, as we said last week, aren't asking. So guess what? You ain't getting. You're not receiving. You have never said, would you please just change my attitude about this? You're hanging on to that attitude. No, just tell him, I want it gone. And I've heard the testimonies of so many of you who've said, you know what, I had this addiction problem. I had this situation. And I finally came to the spot where I didn't want it anymore. And I just gave it to him. And it was gone. Friends, there's things that if you'll just talk to him about, he wants to do already. He just wants to. But you have to want what he wants to get her done. And if you abide, abiders bear much fruit. It's a key thing, friends. But how does that happen? All right. There's a verse in the book of Galatians. I'm going to back up there, bud. 2:20. One of my favorite verses. It articulates this in a way that I think is critical to understand. Would you read this with me? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. If you have not memorized that verse, get that one into your heart, into your head. He says, I was crucified with Christ. If I was crucified with Christ, what happened? I died. I was crucified. Nevertheless, I live. How could I still live if I already died? What happened to Christ after he died? He rose again from the dead. So I rose with Christ. All right? Are you still with me? So I rose with Christ. All right? But Christ lives in me. Who's that? That's the resurrected one. That's why I'm still living. Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live out in this body, let me put it that way, maybe that'll make more sense. I live this life in the flesh, that's what he's talking about here, by faith, by choices of dependence, by acts of obedience and dependence upon his Spirit, by submission to his authority, by choices of faith, I live by faith in the Son of God. If you haven't got there yet, friends, I'm going to encourage you, keep going. See, if you haven't got to the spot where you said, I can't live this Christian life, I'm an absolute failure, I can't do what God tells me to do, if you haven't got there yet, you haven't gone far enough. If you're there, I'm here to tell you, you are discovering a critical truth. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But some people get there and say, oh, it's all a bunch of hooey. No, that's the point where life starts, where you realize, I don't have it. Jesus, would you live this life out in me? And he says, yes, I will. Does that make any sense? Are you following that thought? And so when we talk about this abiding and bearing fruit, it's by choosing to submit yourself to his truth when you read it. It's responding in obedience to what it declares. That's when he says, my words abide in you. It means when he says, love is patient, and I face that situation that maybe wasn't what I preferred. Don't you have quite a few of those unpreferred situations in your day? At that moment, I have the opportunity to say, God is good. God is in charge. I'm all right. I don't have to have a flesh response. I don't have to be impatient. I don't have to be short. And why is it that you're always that way with the people you love the most? What is that about? That's called pure selfishness. Okay, just a little editorial comment. But that's faith, friends. It's saying, I'm going to take what I read, I'm going to apply it. That's one of the reasons why I'm encouraging you to journal, okay? And why we've given you these different study helps, you know, the questions about your Bible reading, the promises, so that you'll say, what did he say? Did I really hear what he said? And do I write it down? Wouldn't you faint if you were given instructions to your children and they said, just a second, let me write that down because I don't want to possibly forget that. Oh, yeah. That would be fun. Wouldn't that be fun, parents? That'd be awesome. Well, then do that for your Heavenly Father. That's what I'm saying. When he speaks, you should hear it. You should write it down. I find it changes the way I approach things. Friends, if you abide, you will bear fruit. Something comes out of the life that depends on the vine. And so he goes on here to say, just as the Father has loved me, Chuck brought us here already. Isn't that awesome when the Holy Spirit puts us together on this stuff? Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. You know what? This is such a cool thing. It is saying that Jesus loves us with the same perfection, with the same fullness, with the same completeness that the Father showed his Son. Is that mind-boggling? Because some of you are saying, well, no. The Father, he could love his Son because the Son was perfect. Right? How could he possibly love me? Get over yourself, would you? It's not about who you are. It's about who he is. He is love, and he's going to love you if you'll stop pushing him away. And he says, he loved us. So, just as the Father's loved me, I have loved you. What's he say? Abide in my love. Now he moves this thing from just the words to character. He says, live in the character of my life. Because love is the full expression of who God is. He says, live in my love. And that just sounds, ooh, nice, doesn't it? Just, yeah, all right, just live in his love. Now, that's a little floaty though, isn't it? What do we mean, live in his love? Well, keep reading your Bible. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Do you realize that Jesus Christ walked in obedience to his Father, that he submitted his will to his Father on a daily basis? That's why he was up early before dawn praying about his day. And if Jesus Christ had to get up and pray, friends, you and I shouldn't go to bed. Just saying, you know what I mean? If he needed prayer to get through his day, you and I need it to get through ours. Get in on your knees before God saying, I need you. So, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Obedience is tied to abiding. Sometimes we think of abiding as this warm, fuzzy feeling. It's tied to specific, direct activities of your heart in response to his revelation. Abiding in Jesus produces an obedience. And what does it do? It loves others. Did you notice? He said, you keep my commandments. Well, what was his commandment? Look down at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Notice, you're in a new covenant. This is not the old covenant. Quit quoting the old one. Quote the new one. Just as I have loved you. What am I saying there? Lots of people stay under the old covenant. Love one another as you love yourself. No. Because a lot of you don't even love yourself very well. Okay? You don't. And no. He says here, love as I have loved you. Oh, that's a whole different standard. How has Jesus loved me? Am I supposed to love somebody like Jesus loved me? And just to hear that, then there's what? That pushes you right back to the vine going, oh, Jesus, I can't love like that. Except that you love me. Therefore, I have what I need. Are you loved by Jesus Christ? Amen. Greatly? Yes. Amazingly? Yes. Then you have what you need to love the person next to you. You have what you need to love the person that's not next to you and you're glad they're not. Yeah. You have what you need if you draw on him who is life. True? That's what faith is. It's saying, I will go to him. And so abiding is revealed in obedience to Jesus' command. Now understand this. Obedience isn't all there is to abiding, but abiding is revealed. You display that you've been with Jesus when you obey him. Do you remember that happened in the book of Acts? The disciples were standing up preaching the gospel to people who said, if you do this, we'll kill you. And they preached the gospel to them. And they recognized what? They had been with Jesus. And if I might just add, probably that morning on their knees. See, it's when you've been with Jesus, people can tell because it will show up in a specific acts of obedience. So what does that mean? It's another one-word thing. Is every time you come across a command in Scripture, there is one simple word to remember. Yes. That's the only response. Did you ever have an officer in the military accept anything other than that from you? It actually had to be a two-word answer, didn't it? Yes, sir. Doesn't hurt. If you understand the authority structure, this ought to be basic. You and I are dealing with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he says, this is the plan I have for you. And some of us are still back on something from a few years ago where he said, this is the plan I have for you. And we said, I'm not buying it. I don't like it. Those are not good circumstances. You screwed up my life and you're mad at God. And your vine is shriveling because you said no. Some of you are wondering, why am I not bearing more fruit? And I'm here to tell you, the only thing I have seen as I've studied Scripture is because you said no. Because he wants to bear fruit and he has all the life possible. So if that fruit's not there, somewhere in your life you said no. Not saying thanks, not saying yes, not going there. I'll do this, this, and this, but I'm not doing that. And when you said no to him, you quenched the Spirit of God. And it's never been the same since. It might mean forgiving somebody. It might be yourself. It might mean going back saying, I need to go do these things. There's a whole list of things that could be. But friends, trust is displayed by actions. It's not a profession. It's a practice. And the word gives us a path. That's why we daily come to him for directions and say, what do you want me to do? Four things every time you come in the word. It's another way to put it. I keep trying to find different ways because not everybody thinks the same, and certainly most people don't think like me, and you can be thankful. But read it, okay? Read it, get it. You know, get it? Yeah, get it, got it. Get it. Hey, I see what it says, all right? Affirm it, because you can get it and not affirm it, you know what I mean? You say, I see what it's saying, but I ain't doing that. So affirm it. That means in your heart you say yes, and then what? Do it. Just do it. All right? Read it, get it, affirm it, do it. Because if you keep my commandments, you will abide. Implying, if you don't, you won't. This is a relationship. It is not an automatic thing, friends. There is no automatic fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. But he wants you to bear much fruit. Fruit. Abiding in Jesus produces an obedience that loves others. Because he said, my commandment is love them. And if you want to know what love is, great assignment for you. 1 Corinthians 13. You read verses 4 to 8 every day this next week. In fact, if you're married, read it out loud to your spouse. Do it. Do it. Read it out loud to your spouse. And if you want to see how close you are, you just put your own name in there instead of love and see if you're at the full level of obedience. James is patient. James is kind. James, oh, that can get very convicting. All right, but that's what love is. So if you want to know what love is, use 1 Corinthians 13 to measure it. Friends, where does obedience come from? It comes from trust. It comes from faith. This whole love thing flows out of a dependence. Jesus continued to say as he came all the way through the book of John, what? Believe, believe, believe. The greatest commandment under law was love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. But you know what? Jesus affirmed that that was the greatest commandment under law, but we're not under law. We're under grace. What did Jesus continually tell people to do? Believe. If you don't believe him, you'll never love him. Believe. If you believe me, he brings that back again and again. Friends, it's that abiding relationship in Jesus that produces love for others. It's as I believe what he's saying, then I recognize that person as deserving of his love. They may not be deserving of your love. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's some people, the way they relate to you, they don't deserve your love, but they deserve his love because he says, I love everybody. So you may not give them what's your stuff. Give them his stuff. It's better. Friends, my choices towards others in each and every circumstance of life allows me to display Jesus Christ. What I have here this morning in front of you is a glass of some of our own home brew. Not brewed, actually, it's just home canned grape juice. How did the juice get out of the grape? They're crushed. But it makes something very sweet. But for the grape, it was painful. And some of you are there in that place of pain. And you're honestly, you're tired of being crushed. I can understand that. I get tired of it too. But if you understand what he's trying to produce is to let your flesh be laid aside and his life be manifested in you, that someone else around you who's dying for a drink of life would receive from you life. And every choice that you and I make in response to others offers them a drink. Does that make sense? When people come to you, what's the vintage? Is it good? Is it sweet? Is it saying, Jesus is real? This is amazing? Do you know that Jesus actually said, people have the right to call you a hypocrite? He called believers, he called religious people hypocrites. He said, by this all men will know you are my disciples if you have love one for another. He says, they have the right to evaluate you're really a disciple or not based on whether or not you love each other. So when they come into your life, take a drink of what you're offering, they can go, phony. Or they can go, oh, it's true. Jesus is alive in that person because I know that person. I knew that person all the way back in grade school. They were not like that. Do you meet some of your friends like that? It's fun to let them, hey, I'm not who I used to be. Friends, 1 John 4:16 says this. Read this with me. We have come to know and have believed. See that word? See that word? Believed. Remember, we said that was a key ingredient to moving forward. Have believed the love which God has for us. If you don't get this part, the rest makes no sense. You have to receive it to give it, because otherwise you won't have it. True? Okay, you got it. All right. So, the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. I love the way God weaves this stuff. Here's John writing letters. He's still talking about abiding. Friends, if I'm not loving, I'm not abiding. If you're not loving, you're not abiding. There is no other way to define it. Let's just get over it and say, I need to go back to connect to the vine. I need to go back to submit to Christ. I need to go back and draw life from Him. Because your relationship with Jesus is revealed where? In your relationships. See, we want to say it's revealed in your quiet time. No, it's developed in your quiet time. It's revealed in your responses to people. That's critical, friends. That's going to make the difference of whether when somebody walks through the door here and says, I wonder, you know, somebody said that this church was real. Somebody said this place was loving. And they've got the right to decide based on one Sunday. They got the right. And if it's there, if it's in you, it's going to be pouring out of you. Because that's what He does. Friends, do you have the life? There is eternal life guaranteed through us in Jesus Christ. If you have the Son, you have the life. That's what He said in 1 John 5, 11 and 12. Read this with me. The testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Clear? Make it so in your life. There are people desperately needing to know Jesus. They want to know if He's alive. You want to say, oh yeah, He rose from the dead. Let them see Him in you, in the way that you love Him. That's what it's about, friends. Abiding in Christ is choosing by faith to let Christ live in you. In every circumstance and relationship of your life. Abiding in Christ is choosing by faith to let Christ live in you in every circumstance and relationship of your life. And what does He promise? These things I've spoken unto you, that My joy might be in you and your joy might be made full. Some of you are wrestling with the whole joy thing because a loving Father pruned something out of your life that was living and vital and personal and special to you, and you are not letting go of it. The vine dresser has the right. I can't explain it always, friends. I don't always understand why He prunes the way He prunes. But I'm here to tell you, the one who prunes loves. So trust Him. You can say, I don't understand. I tell Him that a lot. But you can also tell Him, yes. You can also tell Him, I believe, even sometimes through tears in your eyes. Friends, God time is for abiding. It's for connecting. Read it, get it, affirm it, do it. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful to be a part of such a joyful church family. Such a loving church family. They encourage me every time I meet with them. Whether it's one-on-one or small group or the large group here. And yet, Lord, we would all agree we want to abound still more. We want to be a bumper crop. We want love flowing in the streets of this city. We want people drinking of the very life of Christ. We want to see hundreds, even thousands of souls saved. And we're not. And so I come this morning saying, Father, draw us closer. Let us abide more fully. We want to bear more fruit. Let your Spirit produce Christ-likeness in us and Christ-like boldness in us that others might hear of Jesus. And Father, I pray for us right now in that spot where we've quenched, in that spot where we've grieved, where we've broke a relationship, where we've refused to say I'm sorry, where we've refused to say thank you, right there, right now, this morning, we say, change me. I want to be full. I need your life. Change me. And if you've never put your faith in Christ, would you pray this with me? Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe you died for me and rose again from the dead. Save me. I'm dead without you. Glorify yourself here, we pray, Jesus. And we'll give you the praise. And we thank you that you give us the joy. Break through, Father, in every home, in every marriage, in every workplace situation. Break through and glorify your Son. We ask it for his sake. Amen.